Very good. I'm going to be talking about unemployment rates and modifiable health risks, and I'll just say a little bit more about the Integrated Benefits Institute before I stop, before I start. We are a nonprofit member organization right here in San Francisco. We mainly look at how workers' health impacts their job attendance and their performance while on the job, and we try to communicate to employers how they could benefit from viewing health care and wellness expenditures for their employees as investments in human capital rather than just recruitment and retention expenses, and try and make the case that they should manage these investments like they would any other portfolio. So workers' health is very central to what we do day in and day out. I have nothing to disclose for this talk, so I'm going to move on. Let me give you a little bit of background on this study. Going back at least to the year 2000, there have been a number of studies that have showed or reported some somewhat counterintuitive findings about economic downturns and health. And not surprisingly, in the last recession, these got some widespread media play. And so you would hear on the New York Times, on NPR, you might have heard some stories showing that there were some beneficial outcomes for health related to dips in the economy. So, for example, you would hear about studies showing that when you have fewer workers, you have fewer people commuting, you have fewer highway deaths, you have fewer on-the-job accidents. There are results showing that when people have, as their wages contract, either because they're unemployed or underemployed, they have less disposable income for drinking, for smoking, for eating out at restaurants, and so on. If they're underemployed or become unemployed, they may have more time to take care of themselves, to exercise, to prepare healthier food. They may have less work-related stress, although I don't know how that would be offset by the new stress of having lower income and uncertain career prospects. Now, on the other hand, there have been other studies throughout the same period. I don't know if they got the same amount of press. That showed contingent results for only certain categories of people in the population, or have shown opposite results. And so, for example, you can read of studies that show that people actually drink more as the economy contracts. And so the typical research confusion prevails. Now, these types of mechanisms, less disposable income, more time for exercise and so on, commuting, they're probably more salient for the unemployed and the underemployed than for people who manage to keep their jobs. And for those people, for workers, we might expect different or even opposite effects. Maybe as these people are keeping their jobs in the face of layoffs in their own company or in their industry that they work on. And so, for example, we might not see the reduction in income that would precipitate a reduction in smoking or cut back in how much they drink. If they have to take on other shifts and work longer hours, we may not see that they have more time to exercise. And, of course, they may have more stress. They have to take on more work responsibilities. Okay. Now, I said that IBI, we have an employer focus. Well, we make the case to employers about their employees' health. And so this is the question of importance when it comes to how they're going to make or what are the conditions under which they're going to make investments in workers' health. And so, obviously, downturns are going to present a period of low demand and loose labor markets. And if we're talking about health benefits, but especially wellness benefits, this is probably the time when some employers might start thinking about these are things to cut. Okay. And if there's a relationship between the health of workers and their productivity, and there's enough research now to show that there certainly is in terms of attendance, in terms of performance, then these kinds of cutbacks and these kinds of programs at this time may bounce back and hurt the employers, either in the short run or the long run. Okay. And this leads to a pretty straightforward research question. I've already told you a number of times, how do workers' health risks relate to economic downturns in their industries? And I'm going to be focusing on industry-level unemployment because I am focusing on workers here rather than, I'm going to show results for some other groups as well. But some of the previous studies have looked at state-level unemployment rates. So this study is a little different in that I'm operationalizing the downturns as the industry's quarterly unemployment rate. Also a little bit different from some of the previous studies is we have the the overall unemployment rate, somewhat the steady state from quarter to quarter, but also the change within an industry, the change in their unemployment rate compared to what it was in the prior year. When I talk about modifiable health risks, I'm talking about four of the big five that the Centers for Disease Control in Healthy People 2010 to 2020 have identified: smoking, drinking, body weight, physical activity. Unfortunately, I didn't have the data to look at nutritional intake. And I'm also adding a measure of psychological distress, because as I showed, one of the mechanisms through which people might change their behavior in response to the macroeconomy might be levels of stress. I just want to be clear, this is psychological distress. This measure, as I'll describe, it gets a little bit closer to clinical outcomes. So it's used to identify people who are at a high risk for depression or at a high risk for other mood disorders. It may not correlate exactly, and I'll show you it probably doesn't, with just regular stress levels, worry, and so on. Okay. Quick summary of the results before we move on to what I did. We'll eat dessert first. The results, especially when you consider some of the other measures that have been used for unemployment, they show mixed evidence that economic downturns are actually going to reduce health risk. But on the other hand, they don't really show strong evidence that people's behavior really tends to slip as the economy goes down. And so, for example, we see that at higher unemployment rates, we tend to see people reporting, whether they're employed or unemployed, reporting higher levels of exercise or more frequent exercise. Now, again, this appears to be the kind of evidence that would corroborate studies saying that there's a negative relationship between the macroeconomy and people's health. But again, we have similar results for employed and unemployed people. And if the mechanism through which this relationship works is actually going to be contracting incomes or expanding amounts of free time, I'm not sure why we would see the same relationships for these two types of groups. So we'll throw a little more confusion into it. And again, we don't see any effect for or any relationship between the year-over-year change. So there's something about this kind of aggregate level of unemployment. In the models, I do control, or I have fixed effects for different industries. So we're not necessarily looking at the results here of unobservables about different kinds of industries. Some more contrary evidence. It appears, well, our results show that when the year-over-year change, or unemployment grows relative to what it was in the prior year at the same time, we start to see people drinking more. We see this correlation primarily for workers. We see a similar kind of correlation for people who are not in the labor force and for unemployed people, but considering we have a pretty large sample size here, those are only going to be significant at the 0.10 level. You really can't take it, take it for what it is. So it looks like in this case there is this relationship for workers, and it would seem to work against this argument that downturns are going to have some overall positive effect. And finally, I talked a little bit about stress as being one of the mechanisms that may be driving the results here. If it is stress, it's certainly not psychological distress that would indicate something more on the clinical mental health issues. So we didn't see any relationship either in the year-over-year or the raw unemployment rates between that and psychological distress. So at least this measure doesn't look like it would mediate the results. Now that I told you what I did, let me tell you what I did. I used data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Health Interview Survey. I pooled 6 years of data together, 2005 to 2010. But for a large sample, 78,000 employed people, we added another 37,000 adults who were not in the labor force and 5,000 unemployed workers for comparison groups. And these models really just used an interaction term between those groups and unemployment rates. These data allowed us to model the health risks, and I'll say a little bit more about those on the next slide. They identified a person's industry that they're working in. If they're unemployed, it also identified their last industry. Plenty of demographic variables, age, sex, education, all the ones you would expect. And finally, indicators of the year and the quarter of an interview. And so the models I'm going to show, or the models that I've talked about, have a fixed effect for industry, a fixed effect for quarter, and a fixed effect for the year of the interview. So we probably are getting at least doing the best that we can to get a measure of the actual independent effect of unemployment and not by the industries on their own. I get the industry information from the usual source, the BLS. I apply the industry's unemployment rate for each person during the quarter in which they were interviewed, and we can just take from that the year over year. People who are not in the labor force were assigned the national rates. I would have preferred to use the state rates, and that would have really brought this study in line with some of the previous work, but in the public use NHIS data, the state of residence is not identifiable. And unemployed workers, as I said, are assigned the rates for their former industry. Real quick overview of the outcome variables. These should be pretty familiar to most people who've worked in public health. BMI is just a measure of a person's weight over their height. It's typically kilograms over meters squared. Drinking is a combination of how often a person drinks and how much they drink each time they do drink. These come straight from the NHIS. So people can be non-drinkers, and if they are a drinker, they're an infrequent to a heavy drinker. Smokers, pretty self-explanatory, everyday smoker and occasional smoker. You could almost argue, given the 80-20 split here, that a low-jet analysis would be fine. But again, I want to give people the opportunity to move from being an everyday smoker to an occasional or a non-smoker, or go the other way as well. Exercise is really in hours per week, so we get people up to non-exercisers to at least an hour a day. And psychological distress, again, it's a battery of six questions. This is a validated measure of predicting high risk of depression or predicting mood disorders using six questions that are known as the Kessler Six, and they ask how often in the last month were you so sad that nothing can cheer you up, things like that. I've already told you what the results are, but let me just say a little bit more about these here just to kind of reiterate those. Again, this is a model. It's ordinal logistic regression that allows people to move from the higher or the lower categories of risk. The models include fixed effect for the industry, so we should be looking at the independent effect of either unemployment rates in the raw sense or the year-over-year change. And again, the strongest relationship is certainly for exercise. And for people who are employed or people who are unemployed, it does appear that at higher levels of unemployment, they do exercise more. And again, for drinking within an industry, as that rate changes, it looks like people tend to drink or report drinking more. Now, the implications here, there are probably more research implications than policy implications. On the one hand, you can explain these different kinds of relationships between unemployment rates and people's behavior. This is not to say that when you look at state rates, it's the wrong way to look at it. It may be the case that people are more sensitive in their behavior and how they respond to what's going on in their geographic area than they are in their own industry. But it looks as if the models themselves should, you know, for this research to go forward, should really specify what that relationship is. It probably would benefit greatly from longitudinal analyses of people, such as Dr. Sung just talked about. You want to watch people as they go in and out of employment rather than perhaps making these larger statements about the population as a whole or any subset of population. And finally, to bring us back to employers, it doesn't look like there's evidence one way or another to say that employers are or are not going to see some negative repercussions if they should happen to cut back on the kinds of programs that people might need to help them to support their healthy life choices. And I can answer more questions in the Q&A. Thank you.